My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
He's like sexy grown-up Caillou.
Do you understand that reference, Netta?
Much like Johnny Weir, I am preparing for death. Work.
But a lot of guys skating the bottom anthems out there.
Sometimes flowers are dicks.
Extremely phallic.
Don't put that in the episode. My mom listens to this.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast. My name is Megan.
Welcome back, I'm Neto. Thank you so much for tuning in again.
This week, we are spilling the tea on the short program of the 2019 European Championship.
Which did happen like a couple weeks back, but there's been so much happening that we're taking our time.
To quote the great poet philosopher Pitbull, if we want to understand the future, we've got to go back in time.
Yeah, we're going back in time to a couple weeks back when Euros happened in Minsk, Belarus.
All right, so shall we talk about men?
Yeah, let's talk about the man. So we're doing the top five after the short program in ascending order.
More, yeah,
More or less.
we have our own mysterious system, much like the ISU of how we determine things. And it's just heavily based on personal bias, again, much like the ISU,
Much
so.
like the ISU, yeah. All right, so in fifth place, representing Russia, we have Maxim Kovtun, who is beautiful. He is making a comeback this season because last season he was injured and he didn't compete. And now he came back at Russian Nationals.
Surprise, bitch.
He was like fully that gift. We thought we'd seen the last of him, and he was back and he won Russian Nationals. He is 23 years old, and in his short program, the first thing I want to say is that he looks like a cool bartender at like a 40s pastiche bar.
He does. Like, you go into this like weird speakeasy that's
Yeah.
like, why is it a speakeasy? It's 2019. Liquor is legal now.
They're playing like postmodern jukebox, and he's
My
making you
God.
like a lavender gin like cocktail fantasy. For anyone who hasn't seen him, he has like a faux tattoo sleeve, and he's wearing like this like button up with his sleeves rolled up so you can see the ink, and it's like a whole thing. Yeah, he skates to LOVE.
He slayed the heck out of this at Russian Nationals, and
Yeah.
he's here at Euros, and he just seems a little off. It just like was low energy. Like,
Yeah.
I think so much of what he brings to the ice is it's like charisma and like manly confidence, and I didn't see that. Everything felt like it was in slow motion.
It starts with this kick to the side, and he should be like so high energy going into it, and it just felt like he was, yeah, low energy and slow. He started hesitantly, and then he falls on his Quetzal, and it feels like that like fully pulled him out of it even more.
Yeah, and like he got it back, like he got his combo, he got his triple axel, but it just
Yeah, he got the quad toe, triple toe was actually really, really good.
it
But
was, and that's part of
it
the
felt like he was, I don't know, trying to make up for like everything else. And he
yeah.
knew it. You can tell, like at the end, he kind of shrugs a little. It's like a whole, well, this happened kind of face that he has. Which sucks because I really love this program and I love what it could be.
Really high hopes for him because
Yeah.
it's like you come back, you win Russian Nationals out of not out of nowhere, but seemingly just because he's been off the scene for a little bit, and so then it's like, oh wow, he's gonna go on and sweep everything else, and I think maybe that pressure got to him. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Also, and this is a hot take maybe, I want to go ahead and blame the choreo a little bit. I feel like the first half of this program, the LOVE part, is cuter than it goes into sing, sing, sing after. And I feel like the first part of the choreo is just better than the second part, which makes it so much easier for him to like lose speed and energy and all of that as he goes into it. It might be like an uneven program, even when it's well skated. I'm just
Yeah.
throwing it out there for discussion. I will say he looked very much like he was going through it in the Kiss and Cry. He has like his little napkin and he's like blotting off his entire face. He looked like he was struggling. It seemed like he was very drained by the end of it.
Yeah, and I guess the last thing I'll say, again, sort of regarding his kiss and cry moment, we'll come back to this later when we discuss highlights from the things thrown onto the rink. But his was the first I noticed of a weird trend from Euros, where it was like people were receiving fully wrapped a DVD or possibly like a small coffee table book.
He's just like upset and holding like a full DVD, which happens to the best of us.
Yeah, because I don't have a way of playing DVDs anymore, so I do get upset when I receive a DVD.
When was the
Well,
last time someone actually gave you a DVD?
like 2008.
What was the DVD?
It might have been, I think it was the movie of Rent, actually.
Oh, all right. You know what? I'm pretty sure that's the last DVD I purchased as well.
Wow.
To be.
Rent killed an entire format of movie,
Rent killed so many things out of
including
context.
Angel.
Oh, yikes. Oh,
Yikes.
yep. Okay, this is for a different podcast.
And I wrote, I'm feeling horny. Time for Kev.
God, I've been looking forward to recording this episode just so I could talk about this.
I came up with a thing for when we talk about him.
Yes.
Everyone give it up for America's favorite tiny Frenchman.
So it's Kevin Amos. He is 21 years old and he is skating for France. Here's the thing. We saw him skate at the Grand Prix series and he was unremarkable.
I
Like
really did not care for him.
I did not remember seeing him skate. And then at French Nationals, first of all, he won French Nationals. Secondly, he just showed up. Like something happened to him between the Grand Prix series and French Nationals where he suddenly has this like charisma and this presence on ice, which is so fun to watch. He has been known as the Vin Diesel of ice skating.
The two guys who comment for the BESP kept being like, it's like he, I can't do an English accent, but it's like he's like
Know
Vin
either.
Diesel on ice. They kept saying Vin Diesel on ice, which, like, if you've ever seen Kevin Imaz, how on earth are
He's
you
like
getting?
5 feet 4 and he has a lot of hair. So I'm not sure how, but I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, it's a really bold take. It's a bolder take than we would have made.
So he skates to the song Horns by Bryce Fox, which is this like co indie rock tune fantasy.
So he skates in, he does skate in a red and black, but it's a red and black I can get behind. First of all, because the red is sort of more of a cranberry and it's like a subtle ombre, but also just because this costume is fantastic. It's like mostly a mesh shirt. There's like a buckle over his nipple and like.
Also, like, this is not like Spanish red and black. This is like Hot Topic red and black, which is
Yes,
different.
such an important distinction. And over one shoulder, he has all these like spikes, like he's like a goth biker girl.
He is very much a goth biker girl. And
Yes.
I know we keep talking about this and it's eventually going to be its own thing, but this is like peak, like platonic ideal of like earnest, sexy, fun rock skating. The song is called Horns and he has like this hand gesture. He
But
has his like pinkies up near his temples and it's like a full horn fantasy.
a lot of expressive, fun hand gestures in this. He does his little moment where he's like, shh, and he does his like finger up, shushing.
The other thing is he throws in a lot of like little jumps that are not like the element jumps, but he has a bunch of like illusion jumps and just like he has his flying camel, all of those like fun little things that make it seem a lot like very hyper masculine contemporary dance.
Is it like an aerial, like a no hands cartwheel that he does at
Yeah,
one?
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
the BESP guys were like, we've never seen that before.
Yeah, he has like all of those elements that are not. The ISU allows all of those things technically in the short program, and no one else does that. Like, what he brings to the ice, especially in this lineup of people, is so unique, and his energy is so exciting. And he also has this moment where he's like punching the ice.
On the beat drop of the chorus, it's like boom, boom,
Yes, it
okay.
is so good.
The only part of this that I don't like is he does this thing on his sit spin where his free arm is just kind of flopping.
I know what you mean. Yeah, he does that.
I wrote that's the only flaccid thing about this program.
Oh, wow. Yeah, agreed. Wow, he is wonderful. He gets scored 88.02 points for all of this, except for his floppy arm. He's so beautiful. He is the most important short French man after Napoleon, who is shaking in his beautiful leather boots. Speaking of Spanish stuff.
Good segue.
This is the time for us to talk about the man of the hour, Javier Fernandez, who is the star of both of our Euros episodes, because regardless of what ended up happening medals-wise, this was a very important competition for him and for figure skating fans all over the world who care about him, because it was his last.
So Javier Fernandez is this legendary men's figure skater. At the start of this Euros, he had won 6 consecutive European championships. He was the bronze medalist in Pyeongchang, and I believe that he was the first Spanish figure skating medalist, right?
Yeah, it is so incredible that he comes from a country that doesn't necessarily have a figure skating tradition at all in comparison to so many other countries. And he is so incredible and has such a fantastic track record that he decided to end on a high note, and he has, as of right now, retired.
After the Olympics, so you may remember from the Olympics, his and Yuzuru Hanyu's legendary bromance. They both skate at a Toronto Cricket Club, and he's like, Javi's like the golden boy of the Brian Orser, Tracy Wilson, the Club for Anxious Children. So after the Olympics, Javi takes some time off. He and his girlfriend go on a lot of beautiful dates that he puts on Instagram. He goes and does his Revolution on Ice tour, and he's still skating, but it's more like show skating. And he skips the Grand Prix series. He skips Spanish Nationals. He's like, we're going to do Euros. I have 6 weeks to train for this, but I'm going to defend my title. And everyone's like, you're nuts. You can't do that in 6 weeks. And he's like,
watch me.
So that's where we are now. And the other important thing to note is that because they changed the scoring system at the start of the season, and this is his first major competition since then, we don't even know going into this, like, what his personal bests are under the new scoring system. So we can't even really compare those numbers to the other people and predict how he's going to do. All we know
is going in like fully blind.
Yeah. I mean, we know what he can do, but we don't have numbers to, like, you know, do the calculations. So it was a nerve wracking.
Everyone wanted him to do like really, really well because he has this incredible story. And, you know, the only way to really finish that story would be he wins Euros one last time, teaches them how to say goodbye. I'm really onto my Hamilton references today for some reason. Yeah, he is way more wonderful than George Washington. But so
well, that's his hot take, that Javier Fernandez is more wonderful than George Washington.
George Washington owned slaves.
Oh, shit, he did. All right. Well, Javi never owned slaves. So already, even if he never won a single European championship, he won just because he never owned slaves.
That is the Epstein
podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Epstein. So he skates his short program. It's a Malagueña. Imagine being anyone else this season who's skating a Spanish-esque program. I would not, knowing that he's coming back.
He does Malagueña. You know, people are like, oh, it's like a warhorse or whatever. But I'm like, of the warhorses, it slaps. There's a reason it's a classic.
Also, like, this is the way to skate it. Similarly to what we talked about with Nathan last week, he shows up in his rehearsal blacks. It is so clean. Like a black turtleneck. He has this very cute accent, which is the, it's like fake suspenders, fake leather suspenders.
Nice.
But other than that, there's not a single Swarovski. There's not a single, like, thread of gold or, you know, spray paint or, like, any of that. He is
no
in black. He's just like, you're going to watch me skate, and that's all you're going to get to see. And it works.
It does. I wrote in my notes, clapping and slapping.
God, yes. Like,
clapping and slapping. He's slapping his knees. He's slapping his chest. He's clapping. No one else.
There's a lot of super cool hands in this choreo. Yeah, it's Spanish Vogue. And then, you know, he lands the quad toe, double toe, and it's beautiful. And then he has a quad sal that we need to talk about.
The quad sal heard around the world.
Here's the thing. This is not the podcast where we talk about technicalities. We've said that before. We're going to say it again. However, this is the one exception.
Because this is the podcast where we talk about drama, and this was the most dramatic thing to happen all season.
He has this quad sal, you know, it has like a little apex. It starts slower, then he has like two rotations that are very, very high, and then he has his last rotation kind of as he's landing it. However, there are four, in my eyes, very clear rotations.
It just depends on the angle. Like, I can understand why you would think it was under-rotated, but it was not.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. The judges have all of the cameras. They have slow motion. Basically, what happens is his quad sal gets marked as under-rotated. He gets, like, a grade of execution of, like, +2 points from one of the judges and then -2 from another, which is... It is the Russian judge.
It is the Russian.
Very conveniently, you know, decides that it's not a quad sal, even though, you know, she should or they... I'm not sure why I decided it's a woman. I'm not sure.
That's progressive of you, though. That's, like, the opposite of the thing of, like, the doctor was his mother.
No, with the way the top three after the short pans out, it's very convenient that they decided it was not a quad sal, but...
I guess, yeah, talking about his program, like, I think the choreography overall is nice because it feels authentically Spanish and not costumey, like, performative Spanish, like every other freaking Carmen and...
Maybe because he's fucking Spanish.
Maybe because he's actually Spanish. But the step sequence in particular, so much confidence. The thing about it, first of all, like, yeah, he's playing to the crowd, but also he's the only skater I can think of where it doesn't feel like a step sequence that he's doing because he has to. Like, it's just, like, something that his feet are just doing because he's out there and that's where he lives. That's what he's bringing, and it's really nice.
He ends up scoring a 91.84, which puts him in third place. And he has a moment where you see his face just go, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, yikes.
Also, like, shout out to my beautiful father, Brian Orser, who...
Oh, Brian.
Even, like, in the coach cam during Javi's performance, he looks like he's just going through it. And, like, not in a bad way. He's just, like, so involved.
I love that he jumps for joy whenever one of his skaters lands a jump. Like, we didn't get to talk so much last week about how much we love Brian Orser, which was kind of shocking because that's just such a recurring thing. But what do you say about Brian Orser? He's, like, he's coaching all these little anxious children and teaching them how to be their best. And he's so
encouraging. From experience, from his own experience. It's so great.
The way he hugs Javi after this is just so touching. And he you can tell he's like, well, after he gets the scores, he's like, very much trying to, like, downplay it for Javi, and Javi has this look, I'm smiling, but on the inside, I want to kill someone.
And at that point, he doesn't know. This is before he's seen the whole, like, Quad Sal fiasco. And then we're gonna talk about what happens next when we get to the press conference. Second after the short is Alexander Samarin from Russia, who is 20 years old. He skates to one of my favorite songs this season. I'm gonna start with that, because I feel like I'm about to be critical. But I want to go on record and say that this is one of my favorite songs, Code Blood by Dave Not Dave.
Dave Not Dave. And I think the costume is good from far away. It's like, you know, in Clueless when they're like, he's a Picasso. He's great from far away, but up close, it's a mess. Yep. Far away, it's just all black with like a little bit of like embellishment on the shoulder. But then you zoom in and you realize that it's like these tacky Guy Fieri flames. And it's really
bad. Yeah, I don't know who's responsible for this costume, but I have a lot of questions.
It's Guy Fieri. He's designing for ice skating now.
I want to say that at the beginning of his program, before his music starts, I think this is his focusing face, but he looks terrified.
He always looks so scared. He reminds me of like
so
scared. You know when, like, a prairie dog, like, pops its head out and is like, ooh, like, that sometimes he gives me that vibe.
At all times, I really just want to be like, you're doing so well. I promise you, you're going to be fine. And I feel like he would generally perform better and connect more with his audience if he was less, like, high-strung.
Yeah, like, I think this competition overall was the best I've seen him in terms of his performance, his artistry. Because the thing is that he's obviously a really good technician, and his scores are there, so there's no doubt that he's technically one of the best skaters, but I just think he just doesn't have that charisma. Like, he's just not performing, and that, for me, makes him, like, one of my least favorite of the people who are, like, consistently doing well. Euros, I thought, was the best I've seen him, but it's like it flicks on and off, like from moment to moment. Sometimes he's really in it and he's really selling it, and then the next moment he goes out of it.
And what affects his scores overall are performance and interpretation of music. Looking at the numbers, it's like sevens and eights because he could, you know, calm down and connect more.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to sound like a street harasser, but I think he should smile more. He's definitely at his most charming when he's smiling, and he smiles during the step sequence, and it's like, yeah, he's feeling himself. And then he, like, flashes the thumbs up to the judges, and I was like, oh, don't do that.
Like, yeah.
Don't, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of, like, ways you can, you know, you can finger gun the judges, you can do a split in front of the judges, you can be Sasha Trusova and, like, do a weird mime wall thing in front of the judges.
She does that.
She sure does, but the thumbs up to the judges, for me, I was like, oh, sweetie.
Yeah. Honestly, he's growing on me. The more I've seen this program, the more I'm like, you know what?
It's true. It's so funny, because I think going into this season, I had favorites, and I had people I really didn't like, and now I still love all my favorites, and then the people I really didn't like are also growing on me, so I have nothing but favorites. It's a problem.
I wanted to pose a question, and it's not a statement. It's a question. Is he a little bit too, like, clean cut for this program? It's a song about murder.
It's true. And, like, I don't advocate smoking cigarettes, especially if you're a professional athlete, but you can tell that he's never had a cigarette, and and you can tell that probably Kevin has. I'm just assuming because he's French. Maybe that's racist, but...
Yeah, Samarin just feels like a very nice, wholesome boy. And I'm not buying it.
Yeah, he should skate to... What should he skate to instead? Let's play the game of what
he
would
should
be best
skate
for him.
To... I'm trying to think of...
Fireflies by Owl City.
Yes! He should skate to, like, One Republic.
Oh, he should! Like...
Counting Stars. Just, like, a good, wholesome... He should skate to, like, Imagine Dragons, because they're still, like, indie and all of that, but they're also, like, Mormon or something. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about this is...
I don't believe Alexander Samarin has ever killed a man or smoked a cigarette.
Which, seeing as he's Russian, is honestly very impressive.
That in and of itself, it's like, wow, that's up there with Javi not owning slaves for, like, points for time.
Bare minimum. You've never killed a man. You've never smoked a cigarette.
And those two are equal. Are equal in terms of their atrocity.
Moving on.
Okay, so I don't know if you knew this, but Mikhail Kolyada is in fact my actual son, even though he's like 2 years younger than me.
23. He's from Russia, and he is Megan's actual child.
Oh, he's 5 years younger than me, so that's perfectly reasonable.
It's perfectly reasonable. So, Mikhail Kolyada is...
We love him, and you know, listen, he's had a rough season. He, you know, his Grand Prix season was like, I think it was like, good, not great, and then for Russian Nationals, he came in second.
Is that your Dave Not Dave cover band?
It is. Good, Not Great is my Dave Not Dave cover band. Mikhail is coming off the heels of a real gnarly sinusitis situation. He almost missed Russian Nationals because he was hospitalized for a sinus infection. And he posted a picture of himself with, like, full-on tampons up his nose. I mean, that's not what it was, but kind of.
Yeah, he looked like he was dying, and everyone was very concerned, and then he was like, no, it's my sinuses. I'm sorry, I just punched my microphone. I'm just very passionate about Mikhail.
The reason I love him so much is because he's so grumpy. He never smiles. He's always mad after he finishes his skate. He, like, skates so unbelievably slowly and bitchily to the kiss and cry. It's, like, pure bitchy energy just radiating off him.
Even when
and
he
I'm,
does
like, so
well. Even when he does well, he's just always kind of like, well, I'm done. And then he just kind of slides off.
And he seems like such a sweet kid on his Instagram, but like is on the ice. It's just, it's so, I just love it. I love his mean energy. So his short program is to Muse, and it's the Exogenesis Symphony, something or other.
Part something. It's I Belong to You.
This costume is my whole life. It's a geometric black and gray, like everything I love in life. And then he has like a shiny silver belt.
I know. I wrote down, side note, this belt.
And listen, you know what else I want to talk about before we talk about his skating? That cursed banner that follows him wherever he goes.
I know.
And it's like so unnatural because he doesn't really smile like that. I don't know where they got that picture. And do you know the like the Kinder bar thing?
Oh my God, yes.
You know, like that weird smiling German boy on it? That's what he looks like.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he does. He has like the same sandy blonde hair. It's like the whole thing. He is that child. Remember that child? This is him now. You feel old?
Oh, God. Okay, so this song starts right in, and he, like, literally... You know what I love? And I know this is hard. I love it when skaters start skating the second the music starts and don't wait for, like, 8 bars. Yeah, because when they stand there and wait for their cue, I have, like, this moment of extreme anxiety where I'm like, what if they never start and they just stand here the whole time? Every time, that's what goes through my head.
That would be a power move if someone was just like, well.
Yeah, it's just, this is it. What I brought. He is so bouncy. From the second the music starts, he is fucking on. And it starts so fun. It's like ding, 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 ding. I don't know.
And he has a quad toe, triple toe, which is so good.
It's easy.
It's so clean. This is him making a statement that he's healthy and he's back. Something I feel like we don't talk about often, his face when he is skating and he's not mad at everything is so expressive.
Oh my God, yeah, he's such a good performer.
He is fully living this entire song.
High drama on the step sequence. Oh my gosh, he performed the shit out of this. It's like, this is the performance that we've been waiting for.
Also, his combo spins are so exciting because they keep coming. 4 or 5 different things just spinning the entire time. And it is so fun to watch.
One of my few like beefs with his skating is that when he does his sit spins, his like arm in the air is always kind of claw-ish. But that was better this time, I thought. I thought they were a little more graceful than usual.
I wonder if someone gave him that note.
It was me.
You are his mother, so it is acceptable for him.
Yeah,
for you,
in like, the family group chat, I told him, I was like, relax your hand, my son.
And he ends up first after the short, which is super exciting for him. Especially with, like, this lineup of people. Can you, like, imagine?
Oh my God, because he didn't even win his nationals. And which, you know, granted, if he had been healthy, who knows. But
mm-hmm.
Now, you know that my son Misha was pleased with his performance because his grumpy slow skate to the Kiss and Cry was not even that slow. It was just like a medium speed. And that's like, oh, he's happy. And then he like sort of almost smiled a tiny bit.
You could tell that he was pleased with what he did, which is great. All right, there's more boys. Boys who are not in the top 5, but we just want to talk about. I want to talk about Michał Brzyna.
I always want to talk about Michał Brzyna.
He skates for the Czech Republic. He is 28 years old.
We're born the same week.
Oh my God, I did not realize that. I know you're the same age, but okay, I'm going to give you his exact birthday, Brzyna. Michał Brzyna was born on the 30th of March.
Wait, the 13th or the 30th?
30.
Oh my God, he's an Aries, this motherfucker.
This is why I like him.
Oh!
Yes?
What is wrong with your audio?
Why?
It was like the scariest sound I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, sorry. Netta's microphone just literally was possessed by a demon, and it was I felt like I was Skyping with Satan himself.
So if my audio is worse, I'm sorry, but my microphone has died / been possessed. Michał Brzyna is 28 years old. He's an Aries, and he skates for the Czech Republic. He is...
Yeah, we love him. He skates to Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen. He skates it in a beautiful pale blue button up with a chain. I think we talked about this on our Lost episode, but I think he looks like a cool cousin of someone that you'd meet at like a Slavic wedding, and like you'd go home with him because he could dance pretty well.
This program makes me feel things. And obviously this song is always just great. I mean, it's Queen. It's great. But he matches the energy and, like, the sad, like, solemn urgency of the whole thing. It's Shaylin Bourne.
I wrote another Shaylin banger. She's the choreographer, by the way, if you are not, like, obsessively following figure skating choreographers. I thought his best performance of this was at the Grand Prix Final. So this, for me, was a little underwhelming compared to that. Like,
yeah,
he didn't get that same, like, ridiculous, insane height on his jumps. You know, he touched down on his triple flip. Again, the triple flip was, like, a cursed jump today.
I will say, though, his combo, it's a quad sal double tilt, and he killed that.
Yeah. Which,
you know, goes to show that sometimes just a jump might be harder in theory and just goes better. Also, he has that triple axel right as the music builds, which is...
I wrote that, too.
...fucking inspired. It is so beautiful.
So we love you, Michal, and we will continue to follow your career. Please never retire, even though
you're... Oh, God. Oh, don't. Do not say that. I don't want to think about that. We got to talk about Matteo Rizzo from Italia. I just said Italia so dramatically. It's Matteo Rizzo from Italy. He is 20 years old, and he's a recent favorite. His short program is to Velare. And
it's a weird slow Velare. It's not it's a jazz standard. It's like a heartfelt...
Yeah, it's, like, lyrical and beautiful. He skates in, like, a beautiful burgundy pant. And the blouse, it's good in theory, but I want to point out it's cream and white.
I know, but you know what? Controversially, I'm okay with it. It's real puffy. It's like the puffy shirt from Seinfeld, but, like...
It's very pretty. It's a very pretty cut. I'm not sure how I feel about the color combo, but his burgundy pants are winning me over.
I would like to point out that I wore this exact outfit on Christmas Day when I was 10 years old, and and my American Girl doll had the same outfit.
Okay, so let's talk about his actual skating. I wrote down that he jumps like a ballet dancer. It's very, like... He gets all this height, and he's, like, his core is always, like, so tight, and it's just very, like, collected. There's other people who look like they're kind of leaving themselves to, like, fate and, like, gravity.
Like, Jesus, take the wheel.
Very that. And he just seems, like, so in control and very upright.
This short is bland, to be honest. Like, it's not his fault. Like, he does a really lovely job with it, but I don't think that it really showcases him or, like, gives him anything really special to work with.
Especially because, and we're going to talk about this next week, but he changed his free. He used to have, like, a different free, and then he was not feeling it. So he has this new one that we're going to talk about, which really, really, really works for him.
You know, foreshadowing, five shadowing. When we talk about the free, we'll see a more exciting Matteo. I wrote down that he has a really fluid donut spin. But you know what, though? Seeing the word, like, the phrase fluid donut next to each other is cursed as hell. That is gross.
That's just a milkshake.
Fluid.
That's Matteo. He is precious.
Speaking of precious, Dennis Vasiliev.
Do you ever love someone so much that they piss you off, like, all the time?
Yeah, like, everybody.
Yeah, this is Dennis for me, because he is a fantastic skater that I love so deeply, and I just as deeply hate his entire competitive program, like, both of his programs this season. Oh, yeah.
He is the sun to Mikhail Kalyeta's moon. They are both little blonde bitches that are bringing complete opposite energy, and it's like, to have them both at the same event is, like, it feels correct.
Dennis Vasiliev, he's Kate's for Latvia. He is 19 years old.
I think it is important to note that he's coached by Stefan Lambiel, though.
His skating style is so heavily influenced by being coached by Steph.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and choreographed by Steph. Like, technically, he has, like, a bunch of jumps that are fun and all of that, but I feel like a lot of his performance elements are very obviously heavily influenced by his coaching team, which is fun. However, his short program is to Papa Was a Rolling Stone, but he skates that in a purple button-up and yellow satin pants and, like, a blazer or something. I don't even know.
Black sequin, full sequin blazer.
It's like Alexander Mayorov level of bad.
It's like, and you know, his pants are so ill-fitting, too, and it's just full pants, satin diaper. Like, it's so balloony and
looks
weird.
Like, it looks like rich people pajamas.
Yeah, or like in the 90s, like the early 90s, when those really puffy, swishy pants were in style.
Yeah, it's just so bad. And he's such a great skater, and I'm so distracted.
I know, but let's, you know, what does he do right? There's a pure chaotic energy in his eyes. When he wiggles his hips, the women in the audience just gasp.
Yeah, he has a beautiful triple lutz triple toe, which is just wonderful.
He's feeling his funky fantasy.
Also, his endings are so Stefan Lambiel. It is very touching. He does the thing where he ends up, like, and Steph does that a lot in his, like, show programs. He ends up, like, on his knees, and he's just sliding.
Oh, yeah. It's a very dynamic ending. I wrote that, too. That's, like, Steph's calling card.
Yeah, and you can tell that they're, like, very well-connected as a team. Could have done better, like, technically and everything, but he is so special. And I am not looking forward to the end of this competitive season, but I am so looking forward to seeing new progress from him. Like, he is working on a lot of technical stuff, and he is only 19, but his mind is older. There we go, we're back. Yay.
All right, lady time.
Oh, lady time.
Lady time. It's ladies' night.
Man. Yeah, and Laureen Le Cavalier, she is a lady. She is 22 years old. She's from France, and she, I want to open this with saying she is a beautiful blonde white woman.
And I want to open, it's like we're going to do, we're going to open with a compliment and then just totally eviscerate it.
Yeah, she looks beautiful. Her hair looks great. Love her hair. Hope she
wins.
Hope she, you know, places fifth. We're harping on the fact that she's white because she skates this Egyptian program.
Like, I'm aware that there's, like, discourse about, like, oh, well, what race are Egyptians? And I'm not here to talk about that, but I know for a fact they're not, like, white and blonde.
French white people? Yeah, no, they're not.
So it's very cultural appropriation on ice because, you know what? It's not even, like, well-researched, like, it's Egyptian music, quote-unquote, by a Brazilian guy who does, like, quote-unquote world music a la, like, a movement from, like, the 90s. I don't know. I took a whole ethno class about this. But, yeah, world music is generally really appropriative and bad. And it's, like, the same King Tut hands over and over. It's, like, not cute.
Yeah, no, it's very much, like, and it's not just her music. Her dress is, it's made to look like she has one of those Egyptian necklace, like, neck pieces. It is very hard to engage with the rest of this because she is objectively a fine skater.
Yeah, it's like I can't even get into it because it's so awkward to watch. But, you know, what I will say about this costume is I like black and brown together. I think it's like a bold choice, and I wish that we saw it in a different context.
Yeah, she can do things that are not this. And I feel like I would have a much easier time caring for her performance if it was anything else. But her hair looks great.
Yeah, she's, what, sixth after the short?
Yeah, she's sixth. And then we have Nicole Vrajcova. She's from Slovakia, and she skates to Love Story in a beautiful red dress.
Yeah, it's a beautiful red dress and a pink tights. I'm not even mad about it.
I love red and pink. I know that's controversial, but I love red and pink together. I do also love, like, the back of her dress has that silver stripe.
You know what the costume looks like? It looks like the season 2 opening number of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend when she's like, I'm just a girl in love. Like, that's exactly what this
and
is.
And she's telling you a love story. It is exciting to see her in the top five because we haven't really seen a lot from her this season.
Yeah, and it's so funny when someone like this comes along who is maybe not like a favorite, but just like skates clean and then they end up in the top six and it's like, what?
Also, her ISU bio says that she's an economic analyst. Wow. It lists her profession as economic analyst. So I'm very curious about her life.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Vivica Lindfors.
Vivica Lindfors from Finland, 19 years old.
Why are we doing Phantom of the Opera in the year of our Lord 2019?
I struggle with Andrew Lloyd Webber programs a lot. Speaking of war horses, like, do we need this?
This is the horse that is like, this is, you know what this is? It's not even a war horse anymore. It's like the horse in Animal Farm that's like dying and old and like decrepit and just needs to be put out of its misery.
That is horrible, but also correct.
So bad, because doesn't that horse represent like the Russian proletariat? I feel like I just took this to a dark place. Anyway,
it is worth noting that her entire competitive season this year is musical theater, which I think is exciting because I love musical theater, but anything else.
That's the thing, is like, why are none of these, like, I don't buy that any of these people are real musical theater bitches, because no one's skating to like a deep like Kerrigan and Loudermilk cut, you know what I mean?
I would. All of that said, her triple Let's Triple Toe is beautiful.
Yeah.
She is very lyrical, and she clearly, like, feels this expansive, like, long lines, like, flowy fantasy. I just wish the music was anything else, because similarly to Loreen, it's just hard to connect to this.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the musical Phantom of the Opera is as upsetting as the concept of cultural appropriation, but similarly to Loreen's program, it's like the music immediately makes me glaze over enough that I'm like, this is fine, I'm not riveted. You know, though, the BESP guys said that performance, I'll try and do a British accent, that performance really has put the cat among the pigeons.
they do say that. I feel like it's because she was one of those people that we didn't quite expect to like show up as much as she did.
Is that what that means? I've never heard that phrase before. Is that something they made up, or is that...
No, it is. It is like, it is a phrase. It is a phrase that exists. Okay. To throw the cat among the pigeons is a British idiom used to describe disturbance caused by an undesirable person from the perspective of a group. So it essentially means that, like, no one expected her to do as well as she did.
Oh, and, yeah. And it was her season's best. And season's best at Euros is a power move. All right. So
Alexia Paganini.
It's a red and black Je Soy Maria by a white girl. So there's that.
So we're keeping this trend of, like, all of those women are so good at skating, and all of them are making so many bad choices.
I love Alexia skating. She skates with so much charisma and personality that I'm not even... Of all the white girls who are doing, like, Spanishy fantasy... Ooh, that rhymes. She does sell it, because she's got so much charisma and personality. And also, this is one of the more successful red and blacks I have seen.
I know. I have the same note. It's... almost redeemable.
All her transitional moves, her jumps, everything. She really is like kind of the whole package.
I wrote down that this is clean, but at what cost?
That's like also the thesis statement of the Marie Kondo show.
This is clean, but at what cost? Okay, and then we have the light of my entire life, Sofia Samudurova.
Sofia Samudurova. This costume is, for the most part, truly awful.
It is so bad. So Sofia Samudurova is 16 years old. She's Russian. And this costume is bad.
I am going to make a very bold statement. I don't think I have ever liked a lace-up corset detail on any figure skating costume ever.
That's because you've never been goth. That was like my entire life for like...
I've been goth. Oh, I've been goth. I like a corseted moment in fashion. I just think it's gross on figure skating costumes.
Do you know why?
I think that personally for me, for corset lacing to work sartorially, it needs to be on a heavier fabric.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're right.
Because it needs to look functional. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to skate in a heavier mm-hmm. fabric.
As someone who corsets in real life, I'm always opposed to, like, a fake corset in general. So all of those are very valid points. She also has fingerless nude gloves with roses on them. But she is so wonderful.
She's a little firecracker. And it's like she's just, like, getting better and better and better. It's like she's getting the confidence from Russian Nationals and the Grand Prix Final. And this just felt like the culmination of all of her confidence building. Like,
yeah, something that I like keeping track of when I watch her skate is her spins. Her spins are always so, like, compact and, yeah, like, collected and controlled. But she's just, there's so much energy behind everything she does. And it's very exciting to watch. Also, her ending, I know I'm, like, jumping the gun here, but her ending is super cute. She was, like, you could tell that she was, like, really in it. And she knew that she had done well.
You know, she is bringing very much that same energy of like, this is my first senior season and I'm just happy to be here. So I hope she can keep some of that. I love her little, we talked about this earlier, but every time she jumps, she like does a little kick after, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like she invented like the happy kick. It's like an exclamation point at the end of her jumps.
It is. It is.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. Her music is also, the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack. It's like, fine. It's again, it's like a Spanishy thing. Like so many of these European girls are like, I'm going to do a Latin thing. I'm like, all right.
You know, it's weird now that we're talking about it because I kind of watching everyone and, you know, just taking notes and watching the entire event, I did not realize how many questionable choices the girls are making. It's just, you know, let's talk about Elina Zagitova.
Let's do it. Speaking of.
Because she skates to fucking Phantom.
She skates to Phantom and then her free is to Carmen. It's double questionable warhorse. What are you doing?
It's just riveting, important crowd pleasers.
But are they overdone?
Yeah, but they're like super overdone. I am so happy and honored that we finally get to talk about Elina Zagitova, who is 16 and from Russia as well. Olympic gold medalist and fantastic, incredible skater. So I'm very honored we get to talk about her because I've been bitching about this costume since the beginning of the season. This costume is one of the worst things I have seen on ice, probably ever. And I know that's a hot take because I know she has a lot of she has a lot of admiring fans who really, really love her and who are obsessed with this costume. I've seen, like, Instagram, like, fan accounts that are, like, dedicated to pictures of, like, her looks. I think it would be one of my favorite things this season if it didn't have the faux denim corset.
Agree, because the sleeves are so pretty.
Like, off-the-shoulder, draped cream thing is so beautiful and like it's a really, really pretty dress. And then someone was like, and we're gonna add a corset, which is tie-dye blue faux denim something or other, and it's bedazzled and stoned, and we just talked about like non-functional corsetry. I feel like she would have done so much better with this look if it was just the cream dress, which is so pretty, and it upsets me because it has so much potential to be so beautiful. And then it's just like, why would you do this? And then she skates to Phantom. And it's not just Phantom. It's this weird, weird, weird cut, which even if you like Phantom, it makes no real sense.
No, it doesn't make musical sense. It doesn't make narrative sense. It's like they're trying to cram as much of possible into a short program. And I get this feeling from the choreography, too, because the way that Alina, I'm sorry, I don't want to like piss off her fans, but the way that she skates for me is very like, let me just like go through and tick off all the boxes. And all right, now we're doing this and now we're doing this and now we're doing this and on to the next thing. It's like, she needs to let her elements breathe and like take up space. And I just like, don't get that from her. So it's
she
like,
she has like all this technical capability and it's great for her scores. We know that. But as a viewer, I'm like, I need a second to process what is happening.
It's like, I don't know why we're trying to make graceful, lyrical Alina happen when, like, we'll talk about the gala later, probably next week. But I think that her gala, like, her exhibition is a more athletic, action girl kind of powerful.
And she kills that. She's so fun at that.
And that the thing that's weird to me is, so she her coach is a Terry, what's her face? What's her last name?
Tiberite?
Yeah, that. And she also, that same woman coaches Sasha Trusova, who is a skater who really isn't very graceful, but is a technical powerhouse. And so both her routines are very like sci-fi futuristic. She's like Kill Bill and the Fifth Element, and it's more like athletic and less graceful. And so I'm like, if you as a coach know that that's an option for a skater who's technically good, but maybe not that graceful, why would you then not do that for Alina, who's clearly in the same boat, instead of trying to make her into the specific kind of skater who does these war horses and is lyrical and like a pretty ballerina on ice when that's maybe not like her style?
Yeah, it's agreed. I will say she does do the Christine thing like very, very well at the very top of her program. There's like, because it opens with like the Phantom saying, you know, ooh, it's there, the Phantom of the Opera. And she has this, like, scared deer in headlights moment where it works. And it shows that she could be, she has the ability to be a performer and to, like, engage like that.
Anytime she has to be scared, she can do it. But anytime she has to do anything else, she looks too scared. So I think that's just her eyes.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me laugh every time where it's, like, the chandelier falling, that sound effect. She
punches.
It's a punch. Just like, it's, like, it's like they have her punch out with her arm and it's as though she's punching a window and that's what's breaking, which narratively makes no sense at all. No one does that at any point in Phantom of the Opera. And then in this particular performance of this, she was like a half a beat ahead of the music the entire time. So she punches and then there's an awkward delay and then the glass shatters, which was like pure comedy.
Also, like, who is she supposed to be in this? I know I said she plays Christine well in the at the top. But if she is responsible for the chandelier, is she the Phantom?
She's the spirit of anxiety that runs through the entire musical. I hope she's not Christine, because when she does Think of Me, it's like the choreography is just too fast, and it's like it reads very like Think of Me, bitch. Like
I will say, she has this backwards spiral where she's skating backwards and her leg is like all the way up and it's beautiful.
I hate that. I'm sorry, I'm being so mean to Alina. I think she's darling and I want her to just like, I can see this is just a program that I don't like and it's not her fault. I just hate that her signature move is that, because it's again doesn't read as graceful. It reads as like bam, my leg's up, now it's not.
I just like that it's backwards. I think it's fun. I think I would love to see it in a different context because I feel like it could be. This program just makes no sense, like, narratively, which makes it very hard.
Anyway, so that's that. But I just feel bad because I feel like I'm being so negative about Alina, but I just am so disappointed by her because I see so much potential in her, and I don't like her programs this year or the way that she's performing them.
Yeah, I want to go on record and say that I have nothing against her as a skater or a human being, but I do wish she were making better choices.
You know where I love her skating? Mm-hmm. Is that weird Madoka Magica commercial that she and Jenny are in.
she's obviously an Olympic gold medalist. We cannot question her skating. It's just her choices.
Yeah. And I want her to find happiness away from Atari.
Yeah, she should just do what Jenny did, and we would be so happy for her. And if you want to add us, we are at IcedTPod on Instagram and Twitter and IcedTPod.com. Feel free to send us your opinions. We will probably ignore them. I stan her. I just stan her happiness and success.
Yeah, I think she's really cute. We want the best for her. That's why we... Yeah. Speaking of Atari...
No, thank you. No, thank you, Quatsal. I'm safe wording. I don't want to...
When she whispers into her ear afterwards, all I could think of was Slugworth.
Yikes. Yeah. Slugworth
vibes. Mm-hmm. I like Alina's mouse tissue box.
Yeah, and she gets like a cute plushie as well.
She does. She gets a giant fucking bear, and she gets a giant fucking score. 75 even. That's a blessed, neat score.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and she seems so excited. So, I'm happy for her, and she's in the lead after the short, so that's great.
Yeah, so some other ladies we want to talk about before we wrap up our coverage. We always, 100% of the time, want to talk about my Bérénice Métier.
Beautiful!
I speak French a little bit.
And this program is like a masterclass in how you skate a contemporary song and make it feel so important. Because, like, she does Stay by Rihanna. And it is so beautiful. And, like...
And her costume. Glitter and stones. And, like, it's so opulent. I support Rihanna on Ice. I think we need more Rihanna on Ice.
Agreed.
I only trust her to do it. And that's the conundrum. Who else would I trust to do Rihanna on Ice? Probably just Jason Brown, to be honest.
Yeah. Also, she is currently the current reigning French national champion, which is awesome. And we're so excited for her.
Yeah. She... Just, like, the emotion on her face. Like you said, the stakes. The second it starts, she's in it. And, like, you can tell that she's an incredible, like, contemporary modern dancer because it's not just, like, I don't know. I like it when I see choreography that's not just figure skating arms. It's, like, incorporating.
Wait, you know who choreographed that?
Who?
Charlie White.
Shut the front door.
I'm just looking at her ISU bio now, and it's
I currency. Just died. Are you kidding me? My husband, Charlie White, my first ever skating crush.
This explains so much.
I'm like, I need a minute. That's incredible information.
Yeah, it's great, like, contemporary movement. Like, I would watch her do the off-eyes version of this exact same thing.
I would, too. And
I'd be very excited by it.
Although then we would not get to see her spiral, and her spiral was gorgeous.
Her spiral was so stunning.
She fell on her triple Lutz, which was sad. That was sad. So it wasn't technically her greatest performance. She doesn't end up in the top six, obviously, after the short. But you know what else? I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think that if a white skater was doing this, they would get higher GOEs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, we know. We know the fucking ISU has problems. And as we said in our previous episode, we always root for, like, a black skater because figure skating is horrible and racist. And we want him to do well, and she is so fantastic.
Well, you know what? Her hair jewel is stunning. I love her to death, and good for her. That's also the other reason I'm like, Laureen, why are you, like, trying to make an African-inspired routine happen when your biggest competitor is literally black?
Europeans love, like, ignoring appropriation and pretending we don't know anything about it. We can all do better.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of Bulgaria.
Speaking of doing better, Alexandra Fagan is Bulgarian, and she set, like, a Bulgarian record for, she places ninth in the short, and this is, like, this is so exciting. I was watching the Bulgarian commentary, and it was just, like, throughout the entire event, she just, like, did well. And we're so excited. She is 16 years old. I'm just very excited that we get to have a Bulgarian skater who is, like, world-class and competing at Euros and, you know, doing well. Also, she looks beautiful. She wears this, like, silvery gray beautiful dress. It is so hard for me to, like, not root for her because she represents me and my country.
She represents you personally.
Me personally and my country. But she does this, it's like a Schindler's List selections thing.
Is it all from Schindler's List?
No, and then it's Horizons by Ashram.
I was like, who hears a song and is like, you know what would make this slap if we cut it with Schindler's List?
I know, it's a solid choice. Like, Schindler's
and
List,
some gunshots.
Overall. Yeah,
she's the one with the gunshots at the top, which is a strong choice.
Yeah, someone on Twitter was, like, very upset about that. And I'm like, you know, it is a choice, but it tells us a story.
I wouldn't have done it, but I don't, I'm not, people get upset when you do Schindler's List. And I'm like, I don't know. I understand it for sure. But also, like, I don't think it's, like, tasteless. Yeah. It's a movie that was made about it. It's not like, you know, it's, I will say, I think we could stand to retire Schindler's List in honor of Yulia. We could, like, you know how, like, they, like, retire in other sports? They should retire iconic music selections.
I like that as a suggestion. Once it's been done in a way that is probably untoppable, it should be retired. But that would retire, like, basically all of the war horses.
That's why I'm suggesting it.
Yeah.
Controversy.
At the ISU, we have suggestions.
We do.
But yeah. Also, I get to see her skate this Friday. Which is super exciting, and I will report back. But yay, I'm very, very proud and excited and happy that we get to have a Bulgarian skater who's great.
I agree. She has really deep edges. She has a lot of potential, and I think it's just, I always love seeing a bitch from a random country succeed, which is why I'm friends with you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. On behalf of Bulgaria and on behalf of Alexandra Fagan, we thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, last on our coverage of short programs, we have Stanislava Konstantinova from Russia, who is 18 and wonderful, and I love her.
Yeah, I do too, and it's kind of an upset that she got to go to Euros at all, because, I mean, it was kind of like a foregone conclusion that Alina and, like, probably Sofia would get to go, and then, yeah, maybe Zhenya. She's had a tough season because of her coaching transition, so it was kind of like, maybe, or at the very least, Liza Tuktamysheva But she then got pneumonia and couldn't go to nationals, so she couldn't qualify. And all these different things had to line up perfectly for Konstantinova to go, and she did.
Yeah, she shows up. I adore her. I will say, she skates a red and black Malagueña, so I'm not even going to talk about that. She has, like, a rough program, though. This is not...
She does.
It's not her best.
She pops her first jump, and because it's the short and it's a required element, she gets 0 points for it, and then she fell in her combo. Like, she just wasn't on jump-wise, and it sucks because she skates with so much drama and, like, stakes that she's always so fun to watch, and I'm never bored watching her, and I'm very easily bored. So, she finished a little early and then just, like, started crying before the music was even over. It was so sad. She was just so sad. But you know what? Lest we get too upset over her, the reason we edited her in, you know, again, five shadowing is, maybe she does better in the free. We'll see. Stay tuned.
We'll see. Stay tuned or, like, go on YouTube and figure it out. But I feel like this concludes the short program.
Yeah. Shall we give out some stupid nonsensical medals for the short?
Short medals. Yes. Okay. Favorite, like, kiss and cry, plushie, all of those moments.
Yeah, let's do it. So as far as kiss and cry things, I liked it. Kevin's joy, just pure joy.
Yeah, I think I talked about it earlier, but just, like, the way he drops, like, the entire, like, swag, like, fantasy, and it's just joyful the second he gets his score, and I think that's adorable.
Javi's whole emotional journey. And then Steph and Dennis just sort of bumping each other's shoulders was sweet.
Yeah, they were cute. And also Rychova's whole, like, she is so beautiful and graceful. And then she sits down in the kiss and cry. And she's like, oh, I'm so sweaty.
Which, that for me is the winner. I was so taken by that.
Deeply relatable. She is. It was charming. Yeah, I agree. That's gold. That's beautiful. Yes, she is fifth in the short program, but first in our hearts. And so sweaty.
As far as plushies go, / rink gifts, this was, as we said, why did everyone get, like, weird fully wrapped DVDs?
That's, and, like, also, were they from the same person?
I don't know, because some of them had different wrapping. That's, like, the equivalent of, like, giving out a toothbrush for Halloween. You know what I mean? Like, it's, why?
Yeah, I am curious to see what it was. Also curious to see if it was, like, the same person who only brought those for, like, their favorites. It was bizarre.
Javi got Chip and Dale.
One of them.
The mice. Chip or Dale. Kovtun got what appeared to be a stuffed tugboat.
Which, honestly, that is the winner for me, just because it's so deeply bizarre.
It has to be. I mean, yeah, Samarin got a minion, which is like, that seems right.
It's crazy.
Feels correct. Oh, but Daniel Grassl got a penguin with earmuffs, which was
It was very, very cute. Okay, so now that we've given out awards, next week we're going to cover the free program. But between the free and the short, something very important happened, and that was the men's press conference after the men's short program, which featured Javier Fernandez with nothing to lose.
Yep, he fucking snapped, and he did that for us. He took the ISU to task for their errors.
At that point, Javi has seen his score, like the breakdown of it. He has seen that people are, that the judges are questioning his quad sal, and that one of them gave him a -2 while someone else gave him a 2 in his grade of execution point, which is shady. And he tells us that.
He sure does. It's the Russian judge, and he doesn't call that out, but he didn't need to. He was like, I have seen mistakes today that I have never seen in figure skating. He's like, I may have been away from figure skating, but I am not new to this. I've been doing this for most of my life. And he was like, it was not under rotated. You have the footage. Go back and watch it.
Yeah, he literally says, I sewed a quad sal. He's just not holding back. And it's honestly very admirable, because a lot of people would have been like, I didn't do my best, but, you know, there's always tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. What he says instead is, I'm known for my comebacks, and I'll do that tomorrow if they let me.
If they fucking let me. And my favorite part, of course, was was the look on Kolyada's face, because you can tell that he's like a little demon child who likes to watch the world burn, and he was just kind of suppressing a smile because he was like, oh my god, I love drama, like I'm just totally projecting onto him, but I think that's what was happening.
So,
and he's so sweet normally too, it's not like this is how he is.
No, it's usually, I think that's what's striking, is that, you know, he's usually so nice, and if you watch him in like any like interview or press conference, he's, you know, generous with his time and smiley and sweet and all of that, and suddenly he's like, well, you're screwing me over, and here's how this is gonna work. So it's truly a fantastic situation for drama. So that's the press conference, and we end on this note of like grim foreshadowing of next week we're gonna go into the freeze skates.
Yeah, and so with that, we're gonna now get back in our time machine and come back to the present and talk about what's been going on in the land of skater social media over the past couple of days, weeks, whatever.
So the first thing that happened across social media was everyone was posting videos of their failures with the hashtag
we get up.
Hashtag we get up, which, you know, is motivational and is meant to inspire people that in order to achieve greatness, you have to fail and fall and get back up, which I love as a sentiment. And I feel like everyone, regardless of whether they skate or not, can relate. But it also gave us a gold mine of videos of our favorites falling a bunch.
Yeah, it did make me feel better as someone who's learning how to skate to see them falling. And because it's like one thing to see them falling when they're trying a quad, but it's another to just see them falling over. It's like, they do that too. But yeah, it's like half funny and half haunting. Like the one that really stuck with me was Mariah when, oh God.
So Mariah Bell, you should go on her Instagram and just look at this. She posted this video where she somehow trips and goes over her toe picks and just falls flat on her face.
Oh God.
Just like, and
it's
like, it is
kind of like, and like Adam Rippon is filming it because he's choreographing her. I think it was while they were choreographing it.
Yeah.
And you just hear him go, are you okay? And then just like 3 seconds of dead silence and her just being like, I think so.
Yeah, but she was obviously fine. As was everyone else who posted videos like that. So celebrating failure is fun. Speaking of people who are very good at social media.
Okay, so this is going to start with me issuing a retraction. Last week, I was very mean to Candon Pulkkinen. I said he had a stank face, but it's just because he reminds me of someone I don't like. But he had a live chat from Junior Worlds Camp last night, and he is a charming, charming boy. And him and all his little Junior Worlds Camp friends did a little live chat.
Is it Worlds, or was it just like American Juniors?
No, I think they're all there, right? But I think that all the Americans were hanging out together.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it's for them to decide who goes to Worlds.
Yeah. So they were at Junior Skate Camp.
Yeah, exactly. And it was literally like camp. Like they were filming while they were all out to dinner, and it made me feel like I was experiencing like an immersive flashback to theater camp, going to like a Denny's at midnight to go get desserts. But it reminds you that they're kids and they're just like having fun and being awkward. And it was cute. Like it was him and Torgashev and
Tomoki
was there. And, Alex Krasnijan was there. Camden was rooming with Tomoki, who just wanted to play his Smash Brothers. And sometimes we get to see the girls, like Ting Sui was there, Star was there. We were like sending them questions. This is like the way that this podcast gets interviews with skaters, is we just go into their live chat, live streams and ask them questions. So I will report back this interview that we did, the questions that they answered. So we got to tell Star that we love her, and she was really sweet. And she was like, oh. But yeah, so we asked, what did we ask Camden?
I told him that he has a good face for drag, and he was not impressed, but it did make him laugh. So I was happy with that.
But Camden, I told him that his short program blouse slaps, and he was like, it does slap. And then he like got it out of the closet and like showed it, which was cute. And we asked him what it was like to work with Stefan Lambiel, and he said, that guy's cool. That guy's pretty awesome. I love that guy.
I've never met Stefan, but I feel like that's correct.
Absolutely. And what else did we talk about with him? I think the reason that they answered all of our questions was because we were the only people in there trying to have like a journalistic interview, and everyone else was 16-year-olds that were like, marry me. Who are you dating? Are you gay? Are you dating this girl? We're like skipping all those and just answering. So it worked out really well.
So that was sweet.
Yeah, they all just seem like really good kids, pretty mature, level-headed, not douchebags. So thank you for listening to this episode. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to cover the free skate and the conclusion to the Javier Fernandez drama.
Yeah, if they want to find you and yell at you about your Alina Zagitova opinions, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3. But please don't yell at me. I'm very sensitive. Also, the same on Instagram.
And if you want to follow me, I'm at Neda Marie. That's NEDA. And then Marie, like the Aristocat, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find both of us on at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram, or IcedPod.com. And please don't yell at us, but please do tell us that you're listening, that you're out there. We love feedback so much. Also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars. This is how we become the famous podcasters you want us to be. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.